Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Q&A Day. If you're wondering where I'm at, I'm in a different room. This is my new office, and we are still working on getting everything together for it. So I'm in a folding chair that has me sitting practically on the ground. Go on, baby. On the ground. I have a lamp that's above my head that every time I stand, I hit my head on it. Just saying, like, when I tell people when I want things ready, no one listens to me. So, we're going to make do, though. And lights should come on. I shouldn't be in the dark for much longer. These happen to be lights that warm up. So, it's going to take a minute before I'm like not sitting in a tomb. And you'll probably see Luau come in a million times because he has missed me because I've been at camp and he can't stand it that I've been gone. So he has been literally a shadow since I've gotten back last. I guess I got home Sunday night. I don't think he's left my ass, and I'm 100% sure that I'm talking about my for real ass because he sleeps right between my legs. He's relentless. So today is Q&A day, which means you get to ask questions, and you guys will be putting those into hashtag ask, and then you can ask me whatever you want. And then I'm just going to go over a couple of little things while we are waiting for questions. Number one, go on, Luau. Camp for January is officially open, which means you can go ahead and get registered. If you go over to pnptribe.com and you go to pnptribe.com, click on events and camp. We have an entire information page there for you. It will tell you what we do at camp, how much camp costs, the dates, how long it lasts. Everything you need to know about camp is on that page. So you don't have to come into the group and be like, when is it? Like, trust me, I pour my heart and soul into making sure that when I put things on the camp webpage that you guys know exactly what you need to know. This is what the theme of this camp will be all about, because every camp is unique and different. I don't just teach the same shit every single time. I always come up with new shit for you guys. It might be about the same shit we talk about inside the membership, but I'm always trying to relate it and make it a theme where, like, you know, we do certain things each and every lesson that builds to a climax at the end. So this particular camp is all about getting 2021 kicked off, like, right. So it's really going to be focused on the weight loss aspect of things, about the four basics. It's not just going to be me teaching you the four basics, but it's going to be more about how do you take what we teach you and truly integrate it into your life, into your environment, and into your positive mindset. So there will be a heavy emphasis on habits. There will be a heavy emphasis. The swag box itself is going to be loaded with stuff for your house to remind you to not eat like an asshole. I spent about 2 hours with the coaches brainstorming, what are we going to have custom made for these swag boxes that when they're walking around their pantry and doing things, that their asses are reminded to not eat like an asshole. So this camp will be very specific, geared towards like setting up the complete picture of your life. Because I think a lot of us, you know, when 2020 has been tough. And so, like, we have spent so much time this year on just compassion for ourselves, dealing with change. How do you pivot? How do you teach different? Like, everything has been about change, change, change. And I think for 2021, what we're all going to really want is, all right, how do I want to structure my life? Like, knowing what I know now about me and about the world and stuff, I really need that game plan of structure that can stand up against anything. So we will be working on that for 3 straight days at that camp. That's what that one's for. You'll do a lot of work like you always do. You know, when you come to camp, you come to work. We don't just sit around and listen to Kryn spout some bullshit. We do a lot of worksheets. We do a lot of coaching. We take a lot of notes. We're moving the needle. So a lot of you who just got through with self-love camp are still riding high on that. There's a couple of things that we're working also on. This camp is literally on January 1st through the 3rd. I was like, One, I know a lot of you are off on January 1st, so it kind of it's nice that it coincides where you don't have to spend a vacation day in order to do it. I know a lot of you think you're going to be drunk as skunk on December 31st, and you're afraid to come to camp because you're going to be hungover. What if you just decide that this is the year that you don't start with a hangover? I mean, you can have a drink or two, but you know, I like the last thing I want any of you doing is I'm not going to come to January camp because I'm usually so trashed on January 1st, I can't handle myself. That might be a reason to sign up, just saying. What we are going to do is we are working with Zoom right now so that for people who have family vacations plans, a lot of people do finish up their holidays on that weekend. We are working with Zoom on a way to do what we are going to call coach-led replays. This is something that I can't promise yet, but I'm working on, and I will let everybody know. I will have a special call all about camp for you guys, just so you can ask your questions. But my hope is that for self-love, we're going to test it, where once we get the replays back, we're going to schedule reruns of the lessons for all of those who came to self-love, where if you want to watch it again with a coach in the room, like in the chat, you can. So we are looking at doing some of that. I can't promise it yet because we don't know the technology. So when I hammer out the technology, it will, what I say will happen. So you know me, I am always trying to up level our technology game like nobody's business. I just don't think anybody out there does shit like we do. I know because most of my peers think I'm buttshit crazy for all the things that I do for you guys, but it's neither here nor there. That's why we're the number one membership. Just saying. All right. The other thing is the turkey trot is still open. Guys, if you're going to want to do the turkey trot, please get signed up. We have all the medals on the way. All of the hat, was it a medal? And a heddle? I don't remember what we're giving you. It's a medal and something. Mary Jo, tell me what we're giving them because I can't remember. But your swag packet will have a medal, I believe a bib, and something. I think it's a hat, if I'm not mistaken. But we're going to be shipping those out early in November because they have already said that holiday shipping is going to be a nightmare this year, just so all of you know, because so many people will be doing online shopping as ever. Like, I mean, it's been growing, but it's going to be bigger. So we are for sure going to make sure hat, middle, and bib. Yes, that's what we're getting. We're going to mail early to make sure everybody gets their stuff before race day. And same thing will happen with camp. So go ahead and get registered if you're going to come. Don't wait till the last minute. I have to order all this shit next week for January camp if we would like our swag. That's how like far out the ordering stuff is. So the more that I know who are coming, the more shit. I always order extra. But this last camp, we had to close 2 weeks early because we literally ran out of swag for everyone. We just didn't have any more. And we are going to ship swag. I think we had 2,100 people come. We're shipping the swag for January camp. I think we're shipping the first week of December this time because we want to ship like a, I'd rather ship a month out and you get your shit early than for us to ship closer to time and us run some risk. Because we shipped over like, the last, like, we're just finding that we need to ship really early. Let me just leave it at that. So those are the things you need to know, and let's get to questions. Why do I have so much more trouble doing things I don't feel like doing at home than at work? Because you're busy at work and you're not as busy at home. I notice I follow my plan better on work days. That's it. Don't try to complicate this. Most of us do better at work because we're in a routine. We're distracted by work. We're busy. We're going from thing to thing. Our brain doesn't have idle time. It will always be harder to do the shit you want to do when your brain has space to think. Guess what? That old thought patterns, they come up during that time. That's why so many people overwork. They overwork to compensate for lots of things in life, to not feel bad, to suppress a lot of things. So that is the only reason. You just need to be aware that that's happening. That when I get home, the only thing that makes it harder is I now can hear thoughts I haven't been hearing all day long. So listen for the thoughts rather than just be all pissy that it's harder when you get home and wonder like, what the fuck, blah, 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 and whine about it. Just tell yourself, When I'm at home, of course it's going to be harder. There's going to be a desire to want to relax and stuff if I haven't been relaxing all day long and my brain only knows one way to relax. It's always going to ask for that first. My job is to listen to the conversation and talk nicely to myself about it. Not to hate the conversation that comes up, not to go and clean a toilet to get busy because it comes up. It's like to listen and notice what my brain's saying to me and then redirect the conversation to something that's loving and compassionate and that's understanding and that's patient. Have some patience with yourself in the evenings. I am in a weight loss plateau. I've lost 80 pounds and I'm so close to Wonderland, looking for tweaks and resources. We have a lot of calls on this. Amy, if you'll also go to the No BS Module 4, there's a big lesson on weight loss stalls and plateaus there. You also can go to the video replays and look up weight loss stalls, weight loss plateaus, look up the word plateau. You will find lots and lots of calls that I've done on those. Those are super, super helpful. I've given tons and tons of tweaks and things to look at and things like to consider. Most of the time, I always start with, if you've lost, like nobody, if you've had any overeats or off-plan eats in the last like 4 weeks, you're not on a plateau yet. You are in a holding pattern that says, I no longer can afford to eat like an asshole and lose weight. That's what happens for a lot of people. Like I was able to lose well over half my weight and still overeat. I was able to lose over half my weight and not really change anything that I did. I just had to eat a little less, but I could still have some overeats. I could still eat cheeseburgers almost every night if I really wanted to. There was lots of things that I could do. Once I hit a place where my weight wasn't moving, I had to look at my food and decide, you know, was I still planning ice cream or cheeseburgers and pizza because I don't want to feel left out, because I don't want to feel deprived. That's what's called next level work. It doesn't mean like, oh, now I have to be deprived. Or, oh, now it's like, no, now I have to work on my relationship with food that I think something's wrong in my life if I'm not having pizza. I need to look at why I'm over-indexing what I eat to my dreams and my goals in my life. So for me, a lot of it was like when I really realized that I would rather have my health and my goals and feeling the momentum and stuff. When I really got focused on wanting that, there were foods that suddenly didn't seem as important. Or I noticed I was making them more important than they might be. And so I would just try not having them for a little bit, see if I actually missed them. Now, if I was eating a cheeseburger, I didn't go to a dry ass chicken breast and a stalk of broccoli. If I was eating a cheeseburger, like say 4 times a week, I decided like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start having cheeseburgers without buns. I'll still have it 4 times a week, but I'm going without the bun now. Like I just started figuring out ways to tweak. So sometimes that's what also has to happen. Is Think Feel Do a specific worksheet or we find whatever paper journal you use at? Lisa, it's in the planner. So if you go to the planner in the back, the Think Feel Do cycle is on every single page of the journal. So it's in the back of your planners. That's where we do our Think Feel Do cycles. So if you don't have a planner and you want to do the Think Feel Do cycle, you can either just go and print those pages from the planner. You can always just write Think Feel Do. But if I was you, I would actually go like look in your planner to see if you've just been missing it. It's in the back. But if not, go to the planner page on the website and then look for the individual journal sheets. And then that's where you'll see the Think, Feel, Do cycle. It's laid out in a grid format for you, which I think is much easier to do. Today is a week since my grandmother, is 1 week since my grandmother passed away. I'm planning on practicing equal airtime. I'm going to take time to remember the good things, but I also want to sit in sadness. What are some things I can do to sit in sadness? Cry. I woke up with dread that today was the day. Cry, like, I wouldn't, there's nothing to do. This is the thing. If you're going to be sad, like, just tell yourself, Sierra, like, of course I'm sad. She was my grandmother. I don't need to feel better right now. I think sometimes what we forget is like, ask yourself, what is the worst that's going to happen if I just genuinely miss my grandmother other than feeling bad? Like, think about that. Like, what is the worst that can happen? I'll feel really bad. I will miss her. I will have lots of memories. But that's when you really like you move through things faster when you do it that way. When you just resist or try to avoid or whatever, it always comes back. And most of the time, it comes back harder and heavier. So I would just ask myself, like, what's the worst thing that can happen today when I'm missing my beloved grandmother? And then ask yourself, what's the best thing that can happen today by missing my grandmother? Do those two things. And then just allow yourself to be like, it's just a bunch of feelings. And see, you're getting so good at feeling your feelings. Like, here's something interesting. Ask yourself, why am I dreading missing my grandmother? And then let yourself just be honest with yourself and then say, is dread really necessary? Don't I kind of want to miss her? Isn't this kind of the genuine, like, parts of it? I think I would do some of that. And by the way, I'm sorry about your grandmother. Tracy, how do you motivate to work out when you truly cannot get off the couch? Well, okay. First of all, if you truly cannot get off the couch, you wouldn't be asking me this question because you wouldn't have the option to exercise, right? So, like, listen at how dramatic we're making it. How do I motivate myself? You don't. You do it when you don't want to. Like, for a lot of you have like exercise or something, and you're like, wait, like, how do I go to the part where I feel really good about doing something I never talked to myself positively about? You don't. Like, you don't need motivation. You need to just make yourself do it at that point and see that it's not as bad as your drama ass queen self is making it out to be. That would be step one. And that's what most of you do. It's like, I want to feel really motivated and like it's easy to do something that I tell myself all the time is like, oh, we're going to hate it. Oh, this is going to take time. Oh, I hate exercise. Oh, I'm not an exerciser. If your story around exercise is a bunch of horseshit, don't expect, like, there's no thought that's going to get you off the couch that feels good, that motivates you. So you've got two options. Keep your shitty ass story and do it despite your shitty story until you create enough evidence to realize that you're a drama queen and it ain't as bad as you thought, or that you decide, like, hey, I really am not an exerciser. This is some shit. I'm going to lose all my weight just watching my mouth because I don't like the exercise. So that's option one. Option two is like fucking start talking about it like it could be something positive. If all you ever do is act like it's a bunch of shit and stinks, you ain't gonna want to go over there and take a whiff. You got to talk about it like it's a rose. So think about all the benefits more than you think about how hard it is. Decide what you're going to start with. That seems doable and easy rather than starting off with some bullshit that you've read somewhere that's going to like give you a wicked sweat and take 10 pounds off tomorrow. Like, get realistic about it. So it's always, whether it's planning, it's exercising, it's food prepping, whatever shit we're going to do to lose weight, right? Most of you, when you're asking me, how do I get motivated? It has nothing to do with you not knowing how to get off the couch. It has nothing to do with you not knowing how to go to a grocery store, buy you some shit, and then food prepping it. It has nothing to do with your inability to get a pen and a piece of paper and just write the fuck down what you're gonna eat. It has everything to do with the story around all of it. If the story is a nightmare, don't expect your ass to want to go to bed and dream it. You will avoid it. So coming up with a better story around it does not have to be a bunch of bullshit either. You don't have to make up a fake story, but look at the one you are telling and then ask myself, is this the best I can do? Like, there's gotta be something less dramatic, less dreadful, and less hard to describe doing this. Because unless you understand the payoffs and the benefits and the reasons why you're going to do it and how you can make it easy for yourself, if it doesn't feel easy, it's because of how you're talking about it. And then what ends up happening to get your ass off the couch, you may not feel like you're going to run towards it, but when it's time, you're ready to try it. It doesn't feel so hard to do it. You're willing at that point. I'm having a hard time releasing my meal thoughts of I don't want to stop eating. You don't need to release the thoughts. You need to let them come in. You're going to think, I don't want to stop eating for a long time. So y'all quit waiting for the day for those thoughts to stop. I want to keep eating have been consistent theme in my journal work. Any tips to help me stop when I've had enough and stop eating? Thank you. Yeah, stop eating. Like, I know this sounds crazy. The only thing that's not happening is like you're hearing this thought and you're thinking it's a command to keep eating. And then instead of figuring out how to stop eating with that thought and coming up with what you're going to tell yourself, here's what you're doing. You're like, I'm noticing this thought. How do I make that go away? You don't. Every time you eat, you think, I want to keep going. You think, this tastes so good. I'd like to finish it. And then you add to the end of it, and I'm going to put my fork down and give it a whirl on sitting here with it for 10 minutes. That's it. Guys, we're not trying to make our thoughts go away. That is not the goal of our work. The goal of our work is not to identify thoughts that you're having, come up with the unicorn, and that one never comes back again. It's like, you don't need your thoughts to go away in order for you to do what you need to do. You need to be hearing them and then having an answer for them on the back end. That's what we're doing. So it's like, when you notice, sorry, my nose is itching. When you notice that having a thought of this looks so good, whatever, you need to be prepared. When this thought comes up, I'm for sure going to want to keep eating. It has an urge that comes along with it. I'm very prepared for all of that. And how I'm going to deal with this urge once I have that thought is to remind myself, today we're trying putting our fork down for 10 minutes and like salivating and noticing how often we think about how much we want it and just being patient by watching our brain. And then at the end of the 10 minutes, I'll decide. Rather than deciding to keep eating the moment the thought comes in, this looks so good, I'm going to decide if I'm going to keep eating 10 minutes after I have had the thought and after 10 minutes of wanting the food and after 10 minutes of being patient. Because at least then I'm practicing patience. At least then I'm practicing pausing. At least then I'm practicing putting something between me and an automatic decision. That's the process. No more releasing thoughts. Guys, we don't just, they're not helium balloons that we like, oh, I found my helium balloon thought. It's gone. That is not how any of this works. All of those thoughts are years and years and years of things that you thought without paying attention to. Your brain doesn't know that you now know the think, feel, do cycle and that when it finds one, it's supposed to just automatically retire that bastard. Your brain will continue to send it up because that's the only way that your brain has been programmed to think for a very long time. So our job is to reprogram the brain. It takes a while. But what makes the process easy is when you're not judging the thoughts, struggling with them coming back, like arguing they shouldn't be here, wanting them to go away, like the wanting them to go away, the anger that they're here, the frustration that you have to have them. All of that is what makes the process hard and makes you go back to square one. You don't need to jack yourself up any more than you need to. When it says we can bring friends to camp, does that mean friends who are members or any friend? So what we mean by that is we encourage your accountability groups to sign up together So like, you know, you sign up, your accountability group, they all sign up. A lot of them, they get together at Airbnbs, they get together at a hotel, someone's house, they watch together. Some groups, they just all go to the same room. They're all at their respective homes, but we have different meeting rooms that all watch the same show, the entire broadcast. Like our camps, guys, are like a think of it more like an Oprah show. They're not, it's not like me on this camera. We have a full-on stage, studio lights, about 8 cameras, different angles. We have a DJ, we cut music in, we have all the things. So when you are coming to camp, you're watching a show, and like it's like an interactive show. And so every single room has coaches so that while you're watching the show, you also can ask questions in live time and coaches are responding. So what a lot of our friends do, like our No BS Women friends, is they sign up together and then they all go to the same meeting room so that they're all in that one room having the same coach experience along with the show experience. That's what we mean by bring your friends. So it's like if you're going to come and let's say you got 2 accountability partners, invite your accountability partners. We had probably a good 20 to 30% of our members for this particular camp all did small mini meetups in places where they rented places, drove to the same place, and they spent a weekend together self-developing. So it's kind of like Girls Gone Wild. No BS Women Gone Wild. That's what I mean. Now, Natalie, I will say this. A lot of our members have daughters or husbands or partners that live with them or, you know, could visit, like if you have a daughter that can visit or whatever, that need this help. If they're your family members and they are like, you know, they're technically not a part, but you want them to watch with you, I don't have a problem with that at all. Like you don't need to pay for them or anything like that. What I don't want is for somebody to buy camp and then go find 20 of their Weight Watcher buddies and say like, oh, you don't have to join. We'll just all watch together. That might be a little on the douchey side. So let's just, but in my mind, we have, because, you know, we don't open to men in this group. One of the things that we do is I don't mind if you share our stuff with your husbands. I don't mind if, like, for all of our, like, for all of our members here who have partners, you know, a lot of you, your partner's not necessarily interested. If she wants to come or whatever, and she wants to attend camp with you, do that. That doesn't bother me. It's like, I just want to make sure that people know what they need to know to change their life. That's really important to me. So like this particular event, we had several of our moms' daughters watch with them. We had several of our members' partners watch with them because their partner, she may not necessarily be inside the membership, but she's interested because she sees the changes in her partner. Same thing with husbands. We've had a lot of husbands attend the camp experiences because they watch what their wives are going through and they want to make sure that like they're supportive and they would like to listen so that they can help them out. So, you know, I hope that answers the question. It's just my main thing is invite who you want. I can't control who you're sitting with in the room anyway, but don't be going out and getting a posse of 20 people who are just like, I'm not going to pay to be in that No BS group and then, you know, share it to the world. Them bitches should, if they want to be here, they should pony up just like the rest of you. Tell them, you put your skin in the game just like I did. Why do you think I'm getting results? Because I decided to put my skin in the game. I ain't hanging around outside anymore. So anyway, that's my talk on that. When I eat until I'm not hungry, I often have leftovers. I have food left over. I put it aside and often get hungry about 2 hours later. Is it okay to just eat the leftover food or does that count as another meal? I think that's fine. I don't have any problems with that. You may find if you're only getting hungry at 2 hours, eat a little bit more of your food, kind of play with it to make sure that you are actually getting to where you're having enough. I like to, for me personally, I only like to eat every 4 to 6 hours now. And here's why. This ain't because weight loss. I don't want my life ate up with the next meal. When I used to eat like meal, snack, meal, snack, meal, I felt like I spent too much of my time trying to figure my day out around snacks. I felt like so much of my mental energy was around food. And I don't want that for me anymore. That doesn't say that that's right. That's not to say that that's wrong. It's just that I like to be able to eat enough to where I'm really focused on how I'm thinking and feeling about my day. And then noticing that if in 2 to 3 hours I'm wanting to eat, it triggers me to ask myself why, because I know I'm not hungry. That has been some really good work for me personally over the last 2 to 3 years on just getting better and better at not distracting myself from my own thinking. I think the more that I can teach you guys to get comfortable at listening to your thinking, the more power you have over your life. And sometimes that means taking some of the food away that might be comfortable. Now, I'm not saying you got to do this at the beginning, guys. If y'all want to plan snacks, y'all have at it. But like as you go through, it's like one of those things where it like sometimes taking away a snack and stuff allows you to think about what you're thinking about. When you eat, you automatically aren't thinking as much about your thoughts anymore. So it's just something to play with and something to consider. Like I said, doesn't make you lose weight any faster. There's no right or wrong on that. It's more of a personal preference as to how much thinking do you want to do about your thinking? I really like doing it. It has grown me as a mother, as a spouse, as a business person, as a leader for you guys. Like I still work so hard on myself with my body, with my eating, with everything. Mainly, I'm like, I could take my foot off the gas on all of it and just teach you guys shit that I've collected over the years and do fine. But I don't feel like it helps me stay completely engaged with you. And I don't feel like it helps me stay present with like where you're going to go. I know where you guys are in the beginning, in the middle, but it's like, it's that continued journey. In my mind, you guys aren't just going to be here for a month or two, get a few lessons under your belt, and then go on your merry way. Most of you stay for the long haul because you start realizing there's more to change in your life than just how much you weigh. When you start getting introduced to the idea of feeling better about your entire life, you want more of that. And then as you're losing weight, I watch so many of you shift the focus off of just thoughts about weight loss. You're asking questions about your life. Y'all come to call, you want calls about your future. You want calls about all these like relationships and stuff for a reason. Our life is more than just the sum total of how much we weigh on the scale each day. How we feel going through this world is going to be a compilation of our thoughts about all the things. Our weight is such a small part of it. And our weight is directly, I feel like it's influenced by how much or how little work you're doing on all that stuff. All right. Oh, my eyes just itching today. I got my windows open because there's like fresh paint fumes in here. When journaling some of the prompts, I have an internal battle between what my habit brain wants to say versus conscious brain. Should I journal all of it or focus on the habit brain thoughts so I can identify and redirect them? If you're noticing they're both coming up, don't call it a battle. This is actually, I think, really good news when you start doing journaling. This is how I journal. I'm journaling. My little old shitties are coming out. I'm like, something stinks. I think my diaper is getting dirty. And then my conscious brain starts automatically kicking in and wanting to redirect things. I do that. I allow it to do that. And then I just kind of go back and read through to find like what shitty thoughts are there. If I was able to redirect it, the work's already done. I don't even need to do a think, feel, do cycle. But most of the time I can write a bunch of stuff and I can see one and just be like, okay, that's a thought that I noticed I didn't change when I was writing. I noticed like my conscious brain isn't auto-correcting yet. That's a thought I want to work on. So that's kind of how I do my work. I think a lot of you, as you do more and more thought work, you start noticing, you know how like your brain has a spell checker? and it wants to autocorrect all the time, our brains get that way with our old shitty thoughts. When you do enough discovery worksheets and when you do enough journaling and stuff, you'll catch your brain auto-correcting old shitties when they come in. It'll be like, whoop, there's one of those thoughts. And then you'll think, well, but I really want to think this. Or you'll think, I know this is upsetting. Like, you'll say, like, so-and-so upset me. And then you'll hear yourself go, like, well, what I'm really upset about is I keep thinking this. That's when you know you're starting to get into the real meat of things. Because that's how, like, I do now. Like, I call my friend and I'm like, okay, fixing to tell you a lot of shit. And I know it's all my thoughts. And like, I'll tell her thing. And I'm like, I know I keep thinking this. I know this is the problem. But I'll say also, I don't know that I'm ready to give up this thought yet. I know what I'm thinking and I know how it feels. And right now I'm going to stay with that and just be really aware of it until I'm tired of feeling it. Then when I'm tired of feeling it, I know I'm ready to start opening my mind up to new perspective thoughts. How can I think about this in a new way for me? That's where so much of this thought work starts to get super powerful. I already answered that one. You said feelings only last 90 seconds. I let myself feel something yesterday and then I felt shitty all day. Different thoughts. So every thought, you have 60,000 thoughts a day. At least 30,000 of them are going to be old shitties. We always are about 50-50 in our thinking. That's just how the brain works. So 50% of our thinking can steer towards positive. 50% of our thinking can steer towards negative. That might be why yesterday it felt like you felt like shit all day. It wasn't because of that. It might have been because once you felt that feeling, you didn't really change the thinking around it. If you didn't change the, like, once you go through an emotion, you want to really understand which thought caused it. And then ask yourself, is it worth hanging on to? Is this a thought worth hanging on to? If not, what could I think that will give me some relief? Or if it is worth hanging on to, you won't feel upset about feeling like shit all day long because you invited it in. I don't really understand leveling up yet. Are there videos in an upcoming lesson? I'm on module 3, or did I miss it? We don't necessarily teach leveling up anymore. I think a lot of people still use the term, but it's really simple. I'll just explain it real quick. We may end up adding it in later. It's something we used to teach a long time ago, and there's so many people that stay around that, like, people's like, you need to level up. All a level up is what is a 1% change that's better? So, like, if you get a cheeseburger, leave off cheese, or leave off the bun. Or if you get cheeseburger with mayo, then tell them don't butter the bread. That's a 1% level up. Tell them leave off the mayo. That's a 1% level up. Like, back in the day when I did food level ups, it was always something small. So say we went out to one of the first level ups I did at IHOP was tell them to hold the butter. I used to use all the butter on my pancakes. I started telling them no butter. Then I got to where I would go and I would use half the dress or half the syrup that I used. Then I got to where I was like, I wonder, like, what it would be like to eat pancakes without syrup. And I found out it's pretty fucking sweet. IHOP has very sweet pancakes. I didn't need syrup. Those were level ups. If you want level ups on thoughts, there is a lesson. You can go to, there's a bonus course, Lisa, called Thought Bootcamp. Listen to that. There's just 4 little quick videos, and you will see, we teach you about level up thoughts in there. It's also, if you're hearing something called ladder thoughts, if you go to, you can go to Thought Bootcamp inside of bonus courses. You have access to them now. I know you're new, but you can still utilize that if you want to. If you want to go ahead and just dig deeper into thought work, go ahead and listen to that. The other thing you can do is you can search in video replays, ladder thoughts or ladder, and you'll probably find videos where we talk about ladder thoughts. But basically, it's just like if you're going to level up a thought, it's like if I'm thinking I can't lose weight, then a ladder up thought would be I'm open to believing I can lose weight. Or I can't lose weight is something that I've been thinking and I'm unlearning. So a lot of times it's just adding little things like that. But I believe Thought Bootcamp, we talk about the level up ladder techniques in there. It's all, we've named it different things over the years. So that'll help you. You also could just post some of the thoughts. Like if you're working on a thought that you want help leveling up, just post in the Facebook group. I mean, you're in here now. So what you could do is you could do a post saying like, here's a thought that I'm working on that I want to level up. So a level up is just where I'm just making it a touch better. It gets you from feeling like shit to feeling a little relief from a shitty thought. So ask like, what, how would you guys level this up? Like what would be a little tweak to it? And then you'll get tons and tons of stuff. There are also, if you go to your planner, there is a sheet in there called New Thoughts to Think. So we have a lot of the open and closers, what we call open and closers to a thought. So if you think I can't lose weight, it might be, I'm open to believing, that would be an opener. I'm open to believing I can lose weight. A closer would be, I can't lose weight, and that's a thought I'm working on. Or, and that's not necessarily true. Or that's just something I've thought a long time. So there's opener and closers. That's the easiest way to level up thoughts. I'm fighting depression for a variety of reasons and really work with my think, feel, do, but there is a lot of stress that is constant. My question is, I can be genuinely and honestly hungry, but I'm in turmoil. I'm trying to not eat during turmoil, but it seems like there is always something. Any suggestions? It seems like this is more of a psychology question, but I realize more and more all this is a psychology issue. Yeah. You make an agreement with yourself, Janine, that depression is not worth eating over. Turmoil is not worth eating over. You'd start telling yourself, when I feel turmoil, that's a signal to work on my brain, not work on finding something to eat. Doesn't matter how much stress and turmoil there is, if you have an agreement that you now, the way I handle it is with my pen and paper, not with my fork and my mouth. I haven't talked to you guys much about this, but I've been talking to my friend Jane about it. I've been having a little low-level depression kind of come back. And it's so funny because I've been drinking a lot less. And my friend Jane pointed out to me, she said, I'm just wondering if it's because you're drinking less. A lot of times, guys, when you start taking away the food, you start taking away the booze, stuff that's been sitting there has room to breathe. Your indicator lights, your internal emotions and stuff, they have room to come up and say, hey, you've been ignoring us for a while. We're here and we're ready to work. That's the way I like to think about my emotions. I don't think about them as a problem or that they shouldn't be here. I like to always think that when I'm finding and uncovering stress and turmoil and depression and things like that, that I have finally given myself enough space for like my inner compass to say, I'm really glad you're slowing down long enough to pay attention. Here's some of the things we need to start working on. Because I have really worked hard since like January of this year. We had a big year planned. And then when COVID hit, we've been literally, oh my gosh, I don't know if y'all heard that, but they are blowing stuff up across the street. And it literally always feels like the house is coming down every single time. Scares the fuck out of me every time. Oh, now I got hot. But since then, like I have literally worked almost around the clock. No days off. We didn't get vacations this year. We have had to change our calendar. We've had to like to do these virtual events. Like we'd never done them to this year. And then we wanted to do them like we were literally a talk show. So we had to go from doing a Zoom call to a talk show in what felt like overnight. And then it's just been a lot. And we redesigned, like there's so much that the newbies don't even know. We redesigned the website this year. We just had all these things happening. And I just haven't taken a break. And I have spent my entire year just working and like all of you. And so now that things are slowing down the last few weeks, I just started noticing that like some depression has come back. And I always know when it's coming back because it's very, I really feel heavy and stuck. It's very different than just shitty thoughts. You know, like when it starts coming in, it's like little things make me sad, things that normally I would just be able to just catch. And so anyway, for I don't know how I got off on this, but one of the things that my friend told me was that she's like, you know, you've been really working hard at not dealing with all your stress and not dealing with everything without drinking. And I've been, you know, focused on eating really healthy because I'm working long hours and all this other junk. And I just kind of took all my buffers away. And, you know, now my indicator lights are going off that you took the buffers away, but you didn't really put in like some guardrails for your emotions and some space to feel them and stuff. And so that's kind of happening right now. And I don't want to be the, I don't want to dull that, if that makes sense. I went through years where I dulled a lot of that stuff. And for all of you that suffer with depression and stuff, it just backfires so ugly. And I just have this agreement with myself that when I notice all these feelings and stuff, I really pay attention. And I do more talking, I do more reaching out, I do more journaling, and I don't insert distraction. So, but I'm just like the rest of you. Sometimes it gets away from me. You know, it. My work is very important to me. So sometimes when I prioritize it, it's easy to forget to pay attention to what's going on. It's easy to get so carried away with being busy and being excited about things and stuff to not really be noticing little things. For me, it was tired. I was getting to the point where I was so tired that like I'm going to bed at 7:30 and sleep until 5:30 and not feeling like I knew when I started. For me, when I notice that I can't sleep enough without still feeling tired and drained, something's going on. So I've just been paying attention. I've been talking to my coach about it, and like I'm just prioritizing sleep and water. I'm taking some time off next week. For all of you, I'm going to Albuquerque to see my best friend next week. We've rented an Airbnb. We're going to hole up. And spend a week together, and I'm going to work on writing my book that I've been wanting to do. That to me, that's peaceful. Whether I ever publish it or not, I have no idea, but I'm for sure going to be writing one next week. I've agreed with myself on that, and just sleep and walk a lot. So, when just don't eat, it doesn't help you at the end of the day. And that's just like the big agreement that I have with myself is that it just doesn't help. Like it will feel necessary. It will feel like a good idea. It will feel compelling. It will feel like the only option. Like it will have, like, there will be lots of thoughts and feelings about it, but that doesn't mean that I do it. It just means that my brain doesn't know how to ask for anything else right now. And I'm at a place where I can go to the, like, figuring out how to care for myself. Right now, you just need to be in a place where you know, like, if I keep taking the food out of the equation as an answer, I will figure out how to care for myself. All right. I usually overeat off plan in my car. I'm thinking it would be fun to sip on a shake in my car. Any advice? I wouldn't substitute food. I think that that's what that's reading like, is like you're wanting to, like, I usually eat off plan in my car. So rather than eating off plan, I'm going to drink a shake instead. If you want to plan for a shake, that's fine. But just know you're not substituting what's actually happening in your car. If you're eating in your car, you're probably seeking relief in your car. So if you just plan a shake, you're just going to give yourself relief with a planned shake in the car. I would probably try this for just a day or two. Just say, like, here's the times when I normally eat off plan in the car. Today, I'm not going to do it. And I know it could be a struggle and I know it could be hard, but today I just want to pay attention. to why I think I need it. I want to pay attention to not only what I tell myself to, like, your first level is always a lot of like, ooh, you need it. Ooh, this will taste so good. It'll just be like your low level, what I just call talking myself into my shit. Then when you're like, that's fine. I know it would be fun. Like, that's just my upper level chatter. You have to push yourself to say like, okay, but why do I want it? And like, just be patient enough with yourself to sit there and just like, I just want to understand, why do I want to eat in my car? What is going on? I don't want to just understand my excuses and my justifications for eating. I don't want to just understand the things that I talk myself, how I talk myself into it. I just want to know why I want it to begin with. What do I think it's going to do for me? And what do I think is going to happen if I don't have it? That's two really important questions you guys can ask. That can relate to your car, eating in bed, eating in that big lazy boy that we always like with our favorite comfy and a good TV show. Sometimes just sitting there and be like, all right, I know my excuses and I know my justifications, but why do I think I need it? And what do I think would happen if I don't have it? And let your brain go to worst case scenario. For a lot of you, you paint the picture of what it's like to not have it. Like, well, then I wouldn't get the only break that I want, that I earn for the day. That's very telling. Like, just knowing that, oh my gosh, I've set my day up to where I feel like the only time I can get a break is by eating in a chair. Where am I not giving myself breaks during the day? Mentally, emotionally, like physically, that kind of stuff. Those are the questions to be asking yourself. Marguerite. Lazy boy with crime dramas. Oh my God, that's me. That's funny. Mine's in my bed. If I'm ever eating off plan, you better believe it is in that king size bed up there. Like, I won't eat off plan in the living room or anywhere. I'm like, nope, I'm gonna do it in my bed. Like, I take it to the nth degree of lazy. Like, I want to do it right here so I can roll over and go to sleep. Can you dive a bit deeper on the concept? When you write the thought, you process it, when you keep it in your mind and punish yourself with it. So when you write down thoughts, this is what happens with your brain. So your mind, sorry, my eyes are itching now. When you handwrite, your brain thinks that it has dumped it out of you. It feels like it has processed some thoughts. It's very, when it's inside your head and it's not written down, your brain is just circulating it. It's just like letting it run, letting it run, letting it run. It's not really doing anything with it unless you actually take action in your life. So if it thinks that like you're not good enough, then all day long, it's looking for ways to manifest not being good enough. It will send up urges to eat off plan to prove that you're not good enough at weight loss. It will, somebody will say something to you, like something innocent, like, why didn't you get the phone when it rang? And you'll automatically think, see, they think I'm not good enough. They think I don't answer the phone fast enough. Like, innocent questions and stuff will be, your brain will be processing it. When you do it in the morning and you write, you know, like today, I just woke up today just feeling like I'm not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And you read about it, then you can tell yourself, okay, I'm already waking up this day feeling like I'm not good enough. I'm going to need to remind myself all day long not to blow things out of proportion. I'm going to need to remind myself today of all the little things that I'm doing right, because my brain will be wanting to go to how I'm wrong. That's how you start like kind of like deciding and creating your life. It's like, if I know these are the things that I'm automatically thinking this morning, here are the ways that it could manifest today, and I can remind myself of different things. Like, if I'm already waking up thinking I'm not good enough, then all day long, I need to be giving myself little reasons. Like, when I do something, say, like, see, it's not that I'm not good enough. I'm perfectly capable. Like, you start talking to yourself that way. That's how you start changing out all that. If you don't write it down, your brain hasn't processed it. Your brain doesn't even get the opportunity to look at it and see it. It's just sitting in there. You just notice, well, it's one of them days where I woke up thinking I'm not good enough. I hope I can do better. Like, that's about the, a lot of us do that. We just go into the day and it's like, well, that's just what happened. Like, rather than actually working on it. I've been doing lots more journaling. Should I be doing think, feel, do cycles on what I've journaled? Yes. I would never not do them, in my opinion. I'm always looking for something I'm thinking, something I'm feeling, and something I'm doing that's not working in my favor, and then creating a way for my brain to see if I just thought this, I would get to feel this, and I could be doing these things so much easier in life. It's such a good thing for your brain to see that there's an there's this option. Are like when you're not doing think, feel, do cycles, guys, your brain just thinks whatever it's thinking, that's the only option. It only has other options when you give it other options. You have to give it. Let's see. At this point, after losing the weight and maintaining, do you typically eat in a drive-thru anymore? Mm-mm. No, I don't have a desire anymore. I mean, I used to need it. I used to want it. I used to do all things. But like now, if I ever eat at a drive-thru, I know this is going to sound crazy. If I ever eat at a drive-thru, it's like a treat. And I don't even order all the things. Like probably the only drive-thru, I'm trying to think of like any drive-thru we've had recently, was Sonic. I love those little ice cream minis. Like, sometimes Chris and I will go get a cookie dough one. Like, I like cookie dough or Butterfinger. He likes the, I forget what he gets. He got Oreo. Oh, he likes the Reese's Pieces. Or, no, the Reese's Cup one. So, every now and then, we'll go have one of those. But, and I grew up in the drive-thru. So, this is to give you all hope. Where there was a time in my life that I never, like, I didn't ever see me not being a drive-thru person. Like, it was, like, fantastical. I would have, like, bet $1 million that would never have been me. And it would have been an easy bet. But I just don't. And it's not because, and I don't feel restricted at all. I don't feel deprived at all. Because now it's just a choice. I'm just like, I've gotten better at sitting with hunger. So let's say we're on the road. Like, if we're on the road, this is a good example. We drove to Florida a few months ago. You know, like, an 8.5-hour drive. And we stopped to eat and we went to a Subway because I just told Chris, I said, if we're going to stop and eat, I want Subway. That's my favorite place to go. I'd rather go in and get a Subway. I'm not going to just pop through a drive-thru. I'm never that hungry. Like, I'm just like these days, I'm just not. Like, I've just gotten better at sitting with hunger and knowing it's not an emergency and that I'm going to survive. And, you know, worst case scenario, I can always stop at a gas. I can either find a Subway. Or I can find a gas station and get like a protein bar. Or I can get, like most gas stations now have hard-boiled eggs and cheese sticks and all that kind of stuff. I just rather put that shit in my body now. And it ain't from a fear of getting fat. It ain't from holier than thou thinking and stuff. It's just more of like, I just don't choose it anymore. And that came from like making sure that I didn't villainize that food. I just don't villainize any food anymore either. I just know what I like and I know what I prefer and I've paid attention to what I enjoy. And I notice that if I eat fast food these days, I don't enjoy it as much. I don't even remember the last time. It was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I do remember the last time. it had to have been 4 years ago. It was right after we moved to this side of town. And Chris and I had gotten drunk and we ordered some food from Taco Bell. No, this was 3 years ago. It was because I remember on our side of town, our old side of town, we didn't have like any kind of food delivery service. This was right after food delivery services became a thing. And so I was like, we should order some Taco Bell. And we had it. And I even remember the next day thinking, boy, I wasn't worth it. Like, it was, not only was I not remembering it hardly, it was, I don't remember why we were even out. We had Ubered home and it was just a mess. But anyway, But that was a few years ago. And the next day, I was just like, not worth it. And I just never did it again because of that. Where were we at? I wish I could remember. This may have been around one of our anniversaries because we had Ubered to Burger Republic because we lived in Brentwood. And we came home. Oh, no. It wasn't food delivery. We had the Uber driver drive us to the Taco Bell. That just shows you that soon after that is when I made a rule with myself that when I drink, I don't eat like an asshole afterward either. And I tell Chris, I've been telling him this for years, like, most of the time, if I've had a few drinks, I'm going to, like, beg and want to eat shit. Like, I just will. And he's like a hard no now. And we have an agreement that even if I get mad, like I get mad about it, he's a hard no. He's just like, nope, I'll deal with the repercussions. And then usually what ends up happening, it doesn't happen as often anymore, but I'm just way off topic now. But just so you guys know that if I do get pissed off, let's say that I've told Chris, all right, I'm going to have my drinks tonight. And I'm probably going to want to eat no matter what happens. Don't microwave me anything. Don't you order anything. Don't do anything. And so then I start begging. And y'all all need to know this too. Once I go to bed, I'm lazy. Like my legs, they stop working no matter what. I could be sober or I could be like four glasses of wine in. My legs quit working. He won't go get it. And I sometimes get real upset. Because I'm not managing my mind so well. That's why I don't drink four glasses hardly ever anymore either. But I always apologize the next morning. And we've just like, that's just a part of like our relationship. What? And now he walks in because he knows. Don't I have a rule? Like, don't feed me if I'm Drunky the Bear. Yes. He's standing here laughing.
Yes,
that's also happened. Well, that's a story for another day. This Q&A is at an hour, and I'm sure that a lot of you are now turned off and leaving the membership after that story. But you guys, we are going to have calls this week. So on Saturday, LBGTQ, your coaching call is on Saturday. Now, anybody can come, but it is reserved for our LBGTQ members to get coached. So they get to get coached then. And then we also have Sunday is coaching with me. So at noon on Sunday is open coaching. So it's 10 a.m. Central Time on Saturday morning. And then it's noon Central Time on Sunday. So both sessions are with me. Other than that, guys, I'm going to get out here. My next meeting is actually already started, so I need to get in and tell them that I was talking to you all about my protocols for not eating after I've had too much to drink. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Have a fun one. Oh, have fun, Grace. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.